Hello, everybody. Carl Diffendorfer here with Higher Impact, and I have a very special guest here today to join us as we talk about some very important issues that we face as coaches, business owners, business leaders in the business community. Now, a little bit of the background to this was that we heard this pastor teach about this at our church here recently, and as he was teaching it, I was like, man, this is like right in alignment with the things that I'm learning and the things that I'm sharing with business owners and coaches as I meet with them from all over the world. And so I invited him to join us today to just share this message with you. The goal of today is to bring hope and peace and rest. And I've been on this topic of striving and helping you push away from the striving and living in your true identity, and then also living in where God's calling you to be as well. So with no further ado, David, can you please join us? And we welcome you.
Thank you, Carl, for having me. Such a joy to be with you and to share. I look forward to it.
Yeah, good. So now set the stage for us. What are we talking about here today?
Today, this topic was from a message that I preached some weeks ago, and this was like the best messages you can preach. It's strengthening for yourself, comes out of that place of something that you've been nourished from. And it's from the book of Jude, towards a small little letter at the end of scripture, and an ancient book for ancient people, but it also holds so much truth that's evident and so clearly needed for us today in the situations that we find ourselves in life. And Jude exhorts the people he's writing to, and he addresses them differently than any other letter in scripture, where it's typically it's addressed to the people of that church, but he addresses it to the beloved. And then he gives three specific exhortations to the beloved: to contend, to remember, and to build. And these are just three specific topics that are rooted in our identity and that are clearly exhortations to us, each one of us, in whatever situation or sphere of influence that we have, that we need to put these things into practice.
Yeah, good. So I have my Bible here. Now, you had said something very interesting about the book of Jude when I heard you share this before, and that was something about the fact that it really wasn't originally intended to be or part of the original canon. What, tell us about that. That was really interesting.
Well, it's just, it's bizarre. It doesn't kind of, it's really short. It doesn't hold some of the same way that the other letters that are in the canonized scripture. And then it also has, you know, there's certain stories in it that, you know, like it mentions where the devil and contended for the body of Moses. This kind of unusual little exhortation like thing in that we don't see other parts of scripture. And it even includes quotations from extra biblical sources that were definitely not in, that were really unusual and weren't included in the canon. And so a lot of the early church fathers said, hey, this shouldn't be included. But I think I'm personally am very grateful that it is part of our scriptures because it's so nourishing, so strengthening.
That's cool. That's cool. Okay. Well, let's dive in here. Now, first of all, you said we're going to talk about identity first. What is identity?
Identity. Well, you know, I think back to, there's a philosopher and he said the most miserable version of yourself is not being who you are. And that to me is that's my life experience, is that the most immense amounts of misery I've ever been in is where I'm not being myself. And I think on the reverse, it's the complete truth. It's liberating truth, is that when I'm myself, when I'm just confident in who I am, my gifts, my talents, who God's created me to be, that's the liberating, most joyful version of myself that I can be.
So how would we know if we're not being ourselves?
I think joy would be a big determining factor there. If it's miserable not being yourself, you put more energy, a lot more striving into pretending to be somebody. But if you're just being yourself, that's where rest and joy comes from in life.
That's good. So for those of you watching, take a moment to think to yourself, what am I experiencing in my life right now? Am I experiencing high levels of joy or not? If not, this might be worth listening to as you think through, okay, how do I move past this spot that I'm in? Which everybody has seasons. Let's be real. We all have seasons where we're in that funk and we have to pull out of it. Okay, so continue, David. Continue us through this journey now.
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, this first encouragement that's found in the book of Jude is to contend. And it says specifically to contend for the faith. And I think that's an amazing first way to address all these next things that we're going to build up into, is mm-hmm. that really the most valuable things in life are a lot of times the things that don't come easily to us. And I'm involved in working with young people, and this is specifically young men. That's one of my passions. And this is something that I've had to learn as a young man, and this is something I'm trying to really impart into young men in our generation, is that difficult things are good things. And really the best things in life come through challenge and difficulty when we contend for something. That's the most rewarding things in life.
Now, I want to rewind for a moment because you said a word, and that's great, by the way, but you used a word, beloved. Talk to me about that for a moment, because that kind of sets the stage for all of this, I think.
Yeah, I think that's back also to how we started this in regards to identity and the writer of Jude. This is the way in which he views believers, is that this should be the primary overarching identity that each one of us carry. And it's that we're beloved. This is before we're a parent, before we're, you know, our accolades, where we graduated from, our kind of gifts, our personality, all these things that we present to people on the best of our days, is that at the core root of our identity is that we're loved by God. And I think this is part of this living in joy, is that if we're truly living out of that place, that we present ourselves in a confidence that no one else can.
Yeah, I love to, when I'm at networking events, meeting with business owners or going to mastermind groups or whatever, I love to ask them the question, who are you? And there's always this like silly little pause, because they want to say, I'm a business owner and I do this. That's not who you are. That might be what you do, but it's not who you are. And so it always creates a level of pause for them, and they have to think about, okay, well, who am I? So you're right on with that. And I so much believe that the love of God has to be the foundation point, that the love of God for what he has for us has to be that foundation point. And this talks about that. Okay, good. So, all right. So beloved, contend. Now, how do we contend?
Well, in each kind of sphere, whatever we're given to, I think that would take on a different answer. But let's start at the basics. And I think that would be, to me, is relationally. You think about your friendships, maybe you have a family, that we all have very busy schedules. And so one of the ways in which we could contend for a relationship is that it doesn't come naturally. And so you have to force time. My wife and I, we have three young kids. And in this season, we don't have as much time to give towards each other. But guess what? We find that time. Even if it's late at night, we find that time. And so that would be, to me, is an example in the thing that's nearest and dearest to all of us, is it's our relationships.
Yeah, I think of contending in the way of, Lord, I sense you're moving me to this, or Lord, I feel called to this. But I'm willing to go to that in your timeline. So I'm contending to you to lay the steps in place. Is that part of it too, would you say?
I would totally agree. It's the sense of keeping it in front of us at all times. So there's a tendency, if something's not easily coming towards us, then we kind of just put it on the shelf. We put it on the back burner. Whenever it seems to come more naturally, then I'll give myself to it. But I think there's this invitation through contending, is that we train ourselves to keep it in front of us, that we continually envision ourselves. We're looking for those opportunities. I think that's hugely important.
That's great. Okay. This is awesome. So now contend, but what's where do we go next with this?
So then it's remember. That's the next exhortation in the book of Jude. And this, to me, is a personal favorite of mine. I love keeping track of stories, of, you know, quotes. This is just how my mind works. But I think my hesitation is that today there's such an emphasis on nostalgia. And just remembering things how they were, right? Every movie that's coming out today is just a redo of a movie that was done 20, 30 years ago. And I don't think that's the type of remembering that we're being encouraged to do in Scripture.
So what kind of remembering are we being encouraged to do?
Well, it's interesting. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament is zachar. And that word literally means to pass on. And so, which I just love, because that takes remembering out of my own personal need and my personal experience, but it actually ties me to a purpose that's greater than myself. And it's literally what probably every single person that's watching this is hungering to do, is to leave a legacy and to live for something that's beyond ourselves. And so that's wrapped up in that word to remember, is it's not just to bring to mind, but also to bring to mind, to be able to give to others.
Yeah. So we're passing on something to future generations that they're going to also then take. It's kind of like those stories that get passed down from generation to generation. That's good. Mm-hmm. Love that. So anything else that we should be talking about on the remembering, or should we move on to the next word?
I think that's it's powerful, but like I think even wrapped up in some of the things we've already talked about, identity, if we forget these things, and it's so easily in our each one of our unique journeys, it's so easy to forget who we are, where we've come from, and like you were saying, Carl, to put emphasis on what we do. But I think for each one of us, we need to be remembering how our journey up to this point, our family line, all those kind of things come into play, and that's what actually is our future. So much of it's wrapped up in our experience from our past.
So a curiosity question for you here. I meet a lot of people that, I meet with business owners all over the world, and sometimes they have built a business out of their own drive, out of their own volition. They've made it happen, but they get to this spot where they get discontent in the business. They're like, I've kind of done everything that I wanted to do with it. And so it calls into play their actual purpose. Like, what were you designed to do by God? And so they go in this journey of saying, okay, I did all this. I became a C-level executive of a large multi-billion dollar company, but I'm still dissatisfied. How does that fit into this equation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've talked about contending and remembering, and that puts some of those perspective in their place, because when we, I think the root cause of discontentment is ungratefulness, just to put it real plainly. Mm-hmm. I think that we've lost track. When we become discontent, we've lost track of what we've contended for, those efforts that we've made, those strives, how much joy and the difficult, thinking about for those that have started a business, like those long hours starting it, all the learning curves, all those kind of things, starting a family, those kind of things. There's such a joy and not difficulty in a negative sense, but just something rewarding giving ourselves to. And if we lose track of that, we become ungrateful and we become discontent with where we are.
I've certainly done that in my life. So it's interesting you say all that, because when we look at David in Scripture, David very often looks at what God has done and then praises him from what he's seen him do towards what he knows God is going to do in the future. So there's kind of like this praise and thankfulness of the past. And then this, Lord, this is what I'm bringing to you, but I believe you're going to do it because of this over here. Mm-hmm. That's kind of almost what contending is in some regards. What do you think? Do you agree?
I totally agree. And you think about even kind of David's moment to shine with his battle against Goliath, that, he said, what prepared me for this moment is that when no one was looking, I was out in my father's field and I guarding his sheep, and I defeated a lion and a bear. And that's what prepared him to that moment, that he knew he had those things in perspective, that the things he contended for when no one was looking prepared him for this kind of huge moment on the stage in front of Israel.
That's so good. Okay, good. All right, continue on. I love this. Like, I can't wait for people to watch this, because it's going to be so inspiring for them. And if it's not inspiring, remember, if you're not feeling inspired, you might need to look back at what God has done and just be grateful and thankful for a little bit and sit there, stew in that for a little bit, because there's no reason for any of us not to be joyful if we look at what he's already done.
Yeah.
So continue on that.
So yeah, we've contended, we've remembered, and to say alongside of that, you know, that that's usually the need for remembering is because we've lost track of the math. And that's, I think that's something else that I mentioned when I shared this, is that, you know, this in scripture, the remedy for discouragement is to recount. And hidden in that word, it seems like there's something to get caught up in math. And that's what I found in my personal life, is that when there's discouragement, when there's frustration, it's something in the math is wrong. And so the exhortation from scripture is to recount, to look back, add up all those testimonies, all those things of God's faithfulness in our lives, and that will present a joy that is our strength in the moment. And so the next part of the progression for the beloved is to build. And I think that's, you know, I mentioned nostalgia and just our culture's current obsession with it. But that's not this exhortation from Jude. This isn't to get us to that point of just remembering, just to remember the good old days and to feel good about ourselves. But literally, it prepares us to be able to build something. And even we talked about that already, something to pass on to the next generation. It's not just a story, but something that's tangible. And I think that's really powerful. And I think that's the primary thing I want to get across, is that it's time to build, and that there's a generation in need for people to build something that's substantial and that will last for our children and our children's children.
How do we know what to build? This is kind of an off the cuff question. So I know, we haven't scripted this, but how do we know what to build?
That's a great question. I think from my personal experience, I know that I have two things. I would say, one, life presents itself in the most interesting experiences for us. And for me, I've made an effort just to, the things that are presented to me, just to try them out, just to see. And I've noticed that the things that shape me into the person today, the things I'm most passionate about, what I feel called to, were just an opportunity. And then when I took the opportunity in the middle of it, that's when I sensed, wow, this is what I was designed to do. This is what I was called to do. And so I think that we bring into that, there's something important, that the things that we've done that are fulfilling, that touch our identities, that make us have those kind of aha moments. This is what I was called to do. I'm touching destiny. That would be a primary thing. And then the second thing I would say is that a response to need, and not to undervalue that the need that you see in front of you, that's an opportunity for you to respond to. And I think I've heard a number, you know, even in businesses, that 90% of successful businesses are a response to a need, not so much just a good idea, but because somebody saw a need and responded to it. And I know that's my life. That's where courage and boldness have come, where I've seen a need. And I've looked around to other people and said, oh, I think this is actually for me. This is my area that I need to respond to, even though I don't feel equipped to do it.
That's so good. Yeah, I think back over my journey, and I would add to this, not that I disagree with anything that you said, but testimony. What is the testimony of your life, and how does that fit into this? Because all of the hard things that I've been through, it feels like they're accumulating into this beautiful thing that was ugly, but now it's becoming beautiful because God's using it to move something greater in his kingdom. And, you know, Revelation 12:11, the enemy is overcome by the word of the Lord and the power of our testimony. Mm-hmm. And our testimony is hard stuff that's been redeemed. That's really good. Good.
So good.
Okay. So how would you wrap this up and close this up now for somebody? We've talked about some very key things as they go on their journey of, all the different aspects of this, but start to wrap this up and package this into some practical real life applications of how can they begin to move into this space in their own life?
Well, I'd say, you know, one of those things is to recognize in which stage of this, which one of these areas is most applicable to you in your current stage of life, and to be strengthened from that and realize that life presents itself. You know, I think there's a temptation to say, well, there's good seasons and hard seasons. And I'm relatively young, but I've realized quickly that actually really life just carries both of those a lot of times at the same time, that, you know, you can go through incredible difficulty, but at the same time have incredible joys at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so those areas that have contended for to be appreciative of them, to enjoy them, and to realize that each one of us, due to those experiences, have something to contribute. And I think that's something that I would really encourage every single one of people watching this, is that you have something to contribute. You have something to build because of the way you've lived your life. And there's something that there's people looking to you that are needing your testimony, needing your experience, needing the wisdom, the things that you've contended for and remembered for. They need to hear that.
Yeah, so good. So I'm going to share a little bit of my, I'd love to chat about my own personal journey just for a moment, because I tend to, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs are like this, I tend to skip the contending and remembering and just build. So I see a problem and I fix it. And a lot of business owners function that way. We look for a problem and we fix it. But we miss those two important factors. Now, in my own journey, what I've seen, well, first of all, do you have any comments on that? And then I'm going to go into the next piece of this.
I think that's a unique situation to your gifting as an entrepreneur. And I think that's, I think you can see, because it's like that's your strength, is to be able to respond to need. And so to live out of that place, yes, but also realize that there is these areas that you need to shore up that will actually strengthen your resolve to build and to respond to need in a deeper way that's more impactful and longer lasting. And I think that's what those other areas contribute, especially the remembering, that's going to contribute to something that's longer lasting.
Yeah. Okay, good, good. You're jiving with me here. So what I've realized for myself is that I've had a great season of coaching people, but I was starting to get grumpy with clients in my heart. I would never let them see it. So if you're a client, you're listening, you have to guess. Was Carl grumpy with me in his heart? I don't know. But I was realizing that I was getting frustrated with the fact that they were, you know, committed to mediocrity. They were just going to stay on cruise control. And that's not me. I want to see all of us growing closer to the Lord. I want to see all of us taking really good health, care of our health and our family and having our priorities in alignment and all of those things. Yeah, taking care of our business too. But that's like way down the line. There's so much other to do. And so I realized I was getting frustrated, but my frustration actually might have been God asking me to contend. What are your thoughts on that? Can we tie frustration that we see with a problem towards contending?
I think that's totally it, because really it's this, the situation doesn't change. It's just our response to it. And frustration is just looking at the problem, looking how it affects us. But I think the creativity, that's what God desires for each one of us, is that he'd give us creativity and solutions for it. And so that's what takes us from the place of just simply being frustrated with it, but that we believe that he can make a way through it. And that's what we need to contend for, to get through those areas of frustration. And that ties up to everything, even in regards to contentment.
Yeah, it's very true. So I definitely have been taking that to the Lord and saying, hey, Lord, this is what I'm sensing. Because, you know, let's be real, David, we have a lot of people in our culture that are committed to mediocrity in their walk with our Lord, in their business, in their family. Like I call it the couch of mediocrity. We just sit on the couch, and or couch of apathy, you could call it that too. And I just feel like we're ready as believers to start to make major changes towards revival and many other things in the world around us. How do we move people out of that apathy? Or do we just watch them? I know we're not, this is off script again, but I want to ask this.
I think people, it takes something dramatic to get somebody out of mediocrity, because it has that, way. It's like you called it a couch. I mean, that, I think that's the best way, because you, it's like one of those old comfortable couches. That's like, once you soak into it on Sunday afternoon and watch the game, it's hard to scoop yourself out. That's what, how mediocrity feels. And so it needs something drastic to get people to out of that. And so I think it's uncomfortable, but you know, and kind of a underrated adjective of God is that he's bothering us sometimes. And that's, we don't always feel comfortable in describing God that way, but a lot of times we need to be bothered. We need, you know, you mentioned frustration, and we need sometimes those things, because that's what agitates us and gets us out of that place of comfort and mediocrity. So I think that's a much needed area for us.
It's interesting how all this ties together. Thanks for going off script there. I appreciate that. But it fits, doesn't it? I feel like it fits. So I'll never forget, there was a song written in the, and I probably shouldn't quote this on the air, but I'm going to. There was a song in the 90s written by a band by the name of Dime Store Prophets, a Christian band. And they wrote this song called Hitler's Girlfriend. And the reason they called it Hitler's Girlfriend was because he said, "I'm sitting on the couch, strapped to an engine, stuck in idle. Don't feel because I fear. Don't love because I lost." And then he goes on to say the fact that, you know, Hitler's girlfriend could have done something to stop Hitler, but she didn't. And so we as believers need to make sure we're moving out of that. And I think what we're talking about today, identity, and then contending, and then remembering, and then moving, I think are so important to help us into that process of off of the couch of apathy. We actually, our neighbors burn couches frequently, which is kind of weird. Like, they build a bonfire and they burn a couch. And so we have an old couch that we want to get rid of. Sometime this fall, I have the couch sitting outside. It looks nasty. We're going to put it on top of our burn pile, and I'm going to invite a whole bunch of friends over, and we're going to burn the couch of apathy. We'll have a night of worship and prayer and just say, okay, let's get off the couch. So in any case, do you have any closing thoughts for us, David?
Well, I just want to say, when you mentioned that about having a group of people over, I think that that's the key to my life is that the people I've been surrounded by. And these are people that we can share our dreams, our hopes, our visions, our failures, our successes, all those things that we can share with. And those, to me, that I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for the relationships in my life. And so I want to encourage people that no matter what area that you're in, is to find those, that dream team, those people that you can dream with, that you can share your hopes, aspirations, your difficulties, and that they can encourage you in these times when, you're sitting on the couch of apathy for a little bit too long. It's time to get up and go somewhere. And I'm forever grateful for those types of people in my life.
I am. Amen. Yeah. And I'm thankful that you're one of those friends for me.
Thanks, Carl.
You're welcome. So if anybody would like to listen to the full sermon, I'm going to actually put it in the links below when we publish this. So please, it's so much better than this podcast, but nonetheless, it will be available to you. And, you know, honestly, if you ever want to join me at church sometime just to worship, and we go often on Wednesday evenings, that's when David spoke, and Sunday mornings, but if you're kind of on the fence, even with where you are in your journey with God, just join us sometime and just meet God where you're at and let him meet you where you're at. And you'll be amazed at how loving your Heavenly Father actually is. So thank you, David, for being here. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
Okay. All right. Take care, everybody.